bad things do happen. You know, bad things do happen in life. Good things happen in life too, but we do go through difficult times. And you know, it's easy to say why. You know, why me, or why them if it's somebody else. You know, we all know people that are struggling, going through times, and we might not understand why. You know, but some of it's choices, you know, that we make. You know, a police officer in a small town might have been in a bad mood that day, but he stopped a motorist that was speeding through town down Main Street, and the guy says, "But officer," he said, I can explain." Officer said, "Well, just be quiet. I don't want to hear it. I'm going to let you cool your heels in jail until the chief gets back." The guy says, "But officer, I just want to say," he said, and the officer says, "I just said to keep quiet. You're going to jail. I don't want to hear anything." A few hours later, the officer looked into his prisoner and said, "Well, lucky for you that the chief's at his daughter's wedding. He'll be in a good mood when he gets back." And of course, the guy said, "Don't count on it." He said, "I'm the groom." So the groom didn't have a good day. He had a bad day. The police officer was fixing to have a worse day. But things happen in life, and we got to address. We got a choice. We got to communicate and save some of those things. I want to read 1 Peter 3:8-17 this morning. 1 Peter 3:8-17. Talk about what we can do to have good things, you know, or treat things good, or look for the good in the bad things. And it starts out, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Here's some of the key points. "For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who's going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear the threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." So the key words: whoever would love life and see good days, you got to turn from evil. You got to watch what you're saying. How many times does something you say turn a good day into a bad one? It just takes a word to change the whole day. The whole day, a word can fix the day too, if we want to go that route. So there is a way to see good days. If you would love life and see good days, keep your tongue from evil, turn from evil and do good. You know, a good day or a bad day is in our hands. You know, he just talked about choices. It's in our hands. It's in our attitude. You know, circumstances in life, you know, they do create positive and negative feelings. And sometimes we let feelings get a hold of us a little bit too much. But they also give us an opportunity to look at the good and the bad, to find it, and to change our thought process to see the good. But we got to want to look for it. You know, a lot of times bad things happen for our good or for someone else's good in our life. You know, our suffering has a purpose. God can use that. We can use that. Jason's using that. It has a purpose that can be used for good. And, you know, ball teams lose. Northview hasn't yet. Congratulations. But sometimes we learn more in the losses than we do the wins. You know, sometimes we look for it, but we may not see it at first. But looking back on experiences and things that we've been involved in, things that have happened to us, if we have eyes to see it, we want to have eyes. We've got to ask for the eyes to the Lord to let us see it. Then we can look and see how God used that experience, either for us or for someone else or both. We can see where his hand was in it, and he used that. We need to look for the blessing in things. You know, too bad, too often we just look for the bad instead of the good. You know, do you even, you know, when it's hard to find it, you know, sometimes we give up. And we say, it just is what it is. It's just bad. I can't see the good in it. You know, we got optimists and pessimists. You know, optimists, you know, things are going to get better. You know, always look forward, or, you know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. They've got their eyes focused on moving forward. Pessimists, you know, well, it's bad. Probably going to get worse. I'm dreading it. I don't even want to go farther. You know, our thoughts, our emotions that get a hold of us, they turn rather bleak. We get the woe is me attitude going on. And it's not good for us or anybody else around us. So you got to look at, what side do you look on when things happen? You know, are you grateful or upset? Is that depending on your mood of the day? Or is it in your relationship with God that you can look for the good, that you can have the, maintain the attitude and trust that God's in those actions? You know, your perspective is different too. You know, we had a gentleman win America's Got Talent. I don't know if you, I'm sure you've all heard of Richard from Terre Haute that won $1 million. That sounds good. But there's people who would look at it. I don't know if you know how that $1 million is paid. It's paid over 40 years. You don't really get $1 million. You get $25,000 a year for 40 years. Well, now people say, well, that's bad. That's not good. That's bad. There is an option. You can take the value of that money spread over that time, and they have calculations and stuff. So he could get a one-time deal right now for like $350,000 if he just took it now instead of waiting all those years. So again, that's your perspective. What's good? What's bad? What's good? He either gets $1 million or $350,000. That seems awful good, but we can turn it into bad because we don't like how it's done. So it's our perspective on things. Philippians 1, 12 through 14 says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." That's Paul. He's in prison. He did a lot of preaching in prison. He did a lot of gospel in prison. He understood why bad things happen. And he had a lot of bad things happen. But he knew God was in each one of them, taking him where he needed to go. You know, he understood God worked this out so he could reach others and that God be glorified. You know, he understood he was in chains for Christ. You know, there was a purpose for it. You know, he was in prison praising God for the opportunity to tell others about the gospel, the prisoners and to guards. And, you know, he was being chained to guards throughout each day. You know, they would rotate, be chained to guard. Can you imagine? There might have been some said, "Oh, it's my turn again. I got to listen to this guy again." But, you know, he wanted to tell others the gospel. You know, that's our job to do. It's our job to make a difference. And obviously he had a captive audience. So they were there. They were there listening. So I can't imagine all the things he talked about that would not have happened had he not recognized why he was there. You know, and they had to listen. But it could have been a woe is me. He could have sat in the corner, sulked, could have been bad about it, saw the bad. You know, why me? But he didn't. Look for the good in it. You know, Joseph also, you know, he was sold into slavery more than once. Thrown into prison for something he didn't do. Forgotten. Kind of left to die there in prison. Then he finally got out. But it took 13 years of faith to get there. But he looked to God and he understood why. Genesis 50, 19 and 20 tells us he recognizes that. He says, "But Joseph said to them," he's talking to his brothers, obviously, that came back at that time. Of course, they're afraid of him now because they know what they had done to him. But he says, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. So he knew why it was done. He knew why he was put in this place. He saw God working throughout it to put him in this position. You know, even after Jesus ascended, the apostles were spreading the gospel, but they were staying pretty local, and they were kind of satisfied in that. And we see what God did, persecution, or what he allowed. Persecution started happening. And guess what? They moved. The apostles moved. The gospel spread. A bad thing on the surface was a God-ordained thing to spread the gospel. It's for his glory. And EJ, I told you to go to the ends of the earth. You're kind of stuck here. I'm going to move you. So bad things happen sometimes to move us, to get us in different places. We're not where God wants us to be. He's got a new path for us to go on. He's guiding us down that direction. We always have an invitation at the end. We're going to have one in a little bit here, but I do want to read, and everybody knows it's Romans chapter 8, 23 through 30. Says, and we know that in all things, keep that in mind, all things, God works for the good. And again, the key is for those who love him. It's not everybody. It's not for everybody. It's those that have a relationship with him. He works in all things. God works for good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God's foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. We as believers are used by God for his glory. It's not for ours. A true believer wants that. They want God to be glorified and understands that, because it's not about me. Not about me. God will give us what we need and protect us from what we don't. He does it through the things that happen. Sometimes you can tell a lot by when you ask somebody, how are you doing today? Attitudes and hearts, sometimes show through just by the response. Sometimes you get a great, I'm blessed beyond measure. One I like to use, if there's any better, I'd have to be two of me. But you get the ones, they're ready to go. But then you also get the ones that, so-so. Just plugging along. Trying to make it through the day. They've already made a decision. Today's going to be good or bad. Now, I grant that we all go through spells, and we need to encourage one another, but it shouldn't be a normal practice. We're in God's will, and in him, all days should be good ones. Sometimes you say, I really want to win the lottery. I never win the lottery. That's bad. I never win the lottery. What I could do with that? Then you see the ones that win it. Turned out to be bad. All the calls they get, all the threats they get, bodyguards have to hire, kids to protect, lifestyle changes that is not good. Sometimes God saves us from ourselves, and what we think's good. He saves us from those things. Church, things happen. I've been at churches, I've moved from churches. God does it in churches as well. It's time to move on sometimes. God wants you in another place. God wants to start you out. God's now got another plan for you. Death. We don't really think of death as bad. But I've seen people turn it to good. Especially if that person's in heaven. We had friends that had their daughter and a friend died in a car accident going to school several years ago. But that funeral turned into an altar call almost. because they made it about God. What He is, what He can do. People saw how they handled it. Made a difference. It turned bad into good. You know, even normal things. You know, something happened, you say, man, I wish that hadn't happened. You know, just day-to-day things, you know. I was down to the grandkids the other day. Joni was watching them. I had one at the soccer game. She was watching the other ones. Soccer game got over. I went there. She went home. I had those three neighbor kids. Finally, the neighbors went home. My grandson said, oh, by the way, I need these clean for tomorrow, my soccer game tomorrow. So he hands me a couple socks and a shirt. And I said, well, give me that whole bag. We're not going to just do this. So put that in the laundry. He gets his shower, goes to bed. I'm downstairs with the two older ones. They're hanging out a little bit with me. He got a ball game on, and we're sitting there, and I hear a bang. I said, what was that? Well, we go in. I go around. I go into the laundry room. Well, they have the washer and dryer, and then they have a shelf above that, and above that's laundry detergent and stuff, at least where it used to be. The laundry detergent, it's not powder, it's liquid. It looked like the blob all over the floor. I mean, there's green goo spreading, moving everywhere. So I holler for Macy. Macy's my granddaughter. He said, I need towels. Wherever they're at, I need towels. So she comes running with a towel. I said, I'm going to need more. She goes to the kitchen and gets the stack of hand towels. I said, that's not going to work. Well, she's laughing by this time. She thinks it's hilarious. So grabs more towels. We've kind of dammed it up so it couldn't get any farther in this big area. My grandson comes in and looks at it, says, wow, and leaves. But, you know, we're cleaning it up. I said, well, we need more towels. We need something to scoop it up. Well, she comes back. We've got spoons and ladles. And it takes a while, but we're spooning and ladling it and putting it back in the jug. And finally, she gets tired. She's slipping and sliding all over the place. She thinks it's hilarious. And she's scooping it up with her hands and putting it in. And, you know, and it wasn't fun to be cleaning up a mess at 10 o'clock at night. But, yeah, it's a memory now with my granddaughter. Something we won't forget. Turned into a little bit of fun at the end. Now, suffering is a great testimony for others. That's why we go through it. Because they see how you handle it. And they want what you got. You know, anything that happens, you know, God helps us through all things. Anything that happens, we need to have our focus on God. You know, not on ourselves. But our complete trust in Him. Not blaming Him, you know. Sometimes we get angry, we get mad, we blame God for things that have happened. But a lot of those things are self-inflicted. A lot of those things maybe God created or allowed to move us where we needed to be. Where He wants us to be. But we need to refuse to give in to anger and bitterness when bad things happen. We need to seek His will. We need to seek His direction. And we need to give glory to God in all things. And He's putting us in position to do that, in position to make a difference. So I appreciate Jason here today. He's making a difference. He's taking what was bad. He's turning it into God, good. And God's using him for that purpose. He wants to use each one of us for that purpose. So the next time something bad pops up, take time to think about it. You know, is God in this? Is God trying to do something? Is God trying to show me something? Or how can I use this for His glory? Let's pray.